In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, these days like today don't come that often. Today we celebrate 15 years as a mission church in Delmarva. We give thanks to God for all of His blessings. Remember everything that He's led us through, everything that He's shown to us or given to us, shared with us. And we honor Him, and we give thanks to Him for that. We also today remember those who helped to found this mission. Protopresbyter Daniel Hubiak, Mother Skadunia, the other founding members. Some of you are still here today. Others have moved away. Others have reposed in the Lord. We remember all of you, and we give thanks to God for you and for what you've done. We also remember those who, through the years, have helped to grow this mission from a very small group to what we have today, through your own efforts and sacrifice and love for God and His church. We remember you. And for all of this, we give thanks to God because we were able to co-work with Him. We were able to cooperate with Him in this great work of salvation, right here in Delmarva. Today I want to share with you three things that speak to us about the importance of this church here in Delmarva. First is a hymn, and it's a hymn that we heard last night. The second is an illustration, and the third is a story. First, a hymn. We sang in the Litiel last night, "Come, you company of the faithful, come, let us form a choir on the eminent festival of the glorious translation of the image of our Savior, the God-man. And let us cry aloud, blessed is the image and features of the prototype, he who comes in the name of the Lord. Thou hast blessed us with thine appearance, and hast preserved the church from heresy, and therein we faithfully worship thee." This hymn speaks to us about the icon not made by hands, which is the icon of this parish. The feast day of this parish is today, August 16th, with the commemoration of this icon. And we know the history of this icon, that the Lord was asked by King Abgar of Edessa to come and heal him. He sent an emissary to deliver this message. The Lord said he couldn't. He's on his way to Jerusalem to work the salvation of the world. Later, he'll send an apostle. But for the time being, he imprinted his image on a cloth. And this image was taken to Abgar, and he was healed by looking upon it and venerating it. The most pure image of Christ, and the icon not made by hands. Copies were made of this and distributed all over the world. And it's largely because of this icon, not made by hands, but made by God Himself, not the work of men, but the work of God, that we get to see who the Christ is. What a wonderful gift that is. And we think about what the world would be like without the scriptures. Well, what would it also be like without the icon of God incarnate? What if we didn't know what He looked like? What if we didn't know who He was? But we do, because of this icon, and because it's been given to us in the tradition of the church. This hymn speaks to us about the Lord as the prototype. What is the prototype? But the original, the first, the model from which everything else was made. We heard in the epistle that Christ is preeminent above all things and in all things and through all things, and everything was made for Him. And this most especially speaks about the human being. Because Christ is not only perfect God, but He's also perfect man. And looking at Christ, we see not only who God is, but also who man is meant to be. He becomes the new Adam for the recreation of the whole world. He is that model and that prototype. When we think about Christ as this prototype, and the fact that we find our destiny, our true identity, our true selves, our personhood in Him, we ask ourselves, well, how does this happen? How are we able to be refashioned and remade in Christ? How can we become Christ-like? And we'll move now to this illustration, to this image. You know, children learn from an early age how to make a copy of something. Sometimes you look at children and they love to draw something that exists in nature. One of the things that children like to do is they like to mold with silly putty or clay. And they learn that if you want to copy something, you have to make an imprint of that thing so that you can then make an exact replica. Right? If you have silly putty and you have a quarter, you take the quarter and you push it into the silly putty, right? And what does that silly putty have but a reverse image of that? And then you put in paper mache or something like that and you can make kind of a quarter. It's not worth anything, but you can duplicate it because you've made this mold, this cast. When we look at this illustration of how we replicate something, we first have to have a prototype. We have to have the quarter that we wish to copy. We also have to have the cast, the silly putty, from which we can make that reverse image. And likewise, we have to have the material that is formed and fashioned into that carbon copy. Three things. And in the recreation of man, we have those three things given to us in the church. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the prototype. We have his church, which bears his imprint, his image. Like he imprinted his image on the cloth, he imprints himself on the church. And then, of course, we have the material that's remade and refashioned. And look around you, each and every one of us. We're refashioned, remade. Now, why is this Orthodox community important? Because what Orthodoxy preserves is the authentic image of who Jesus Christ is in its tradition. In the fullness of truth and love, in the fullness of the scriptures, and in the iconography, in the fullness of the worship, and the fasts, and the feasts, and the hymnology, and everything that we see in the church, it preserves the image of Christ, the prototype. And the church becomes this cast. And we are remade and refashioned within the church. But why is the Orthodox Church so important? Why not any church? Because if we want to become like the historic Christ, it happens in his historic church. We have to have the same mold that he gave to us, the same mold that has been handed down. You know, if you go to the beach, and some of you are probably here, I go to the beach this weekend. You go to the beach and you see children and they're building sandcastles, right? They have a mold of a sandcastle, and they put the sand in it and they put it down on the ground. And when you take it off, you have a sandcastle. But what happens when that mold, that plastic mold, gets bent or warped by the sun, or deformed somehow, or broken? You put the sand in it, some falls out perhaps, you dump it over, and you don't have that perfect sandcastle anymore because the mold has been broken. It's gotten messed up. The church, the Orthodox Church, remains the same for 2,000 years because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The mold is unbreakable. The Lord said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. When we look outside of Orthodoxy, we see changes in the mold. We do. In the 11th century, we have the Pope of Rome splitting from the rest of the church and introducing changes into the Roman Catholic Church. History documents this. This is not an Orthodox position. And what happens? Those deformities that were introduced into the mold, into the Roman Catholic Church, were met with protest, right? What does history call that protest? The Protestant Reformation, right? They tried to fix the mold because they didn't see Jesus Christ in it anymore. And the Protestants tried to go back to that original image, to that original prototype. And they tried to recreate the church. Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, all of them. They tried to recreate the mold so that they could go back to the prototype. But they all did it in their own ways. And now we have 30,000 different Protestant churches. 30,000 different molds. But there aren't 30,000 different Christs. There just aren't. When we look at this situation, Christianity is greatly threatened by these heresies, by these changes. Christianity is losing Christ in doctrine, in morality, in spirituality, in the very way of life. Christ is being lost. Every day, new churches are founded and they become less and less Christian, less tied to the original, historic Jesus Christ. But the Church of Christ, that historically founded church, still exists, and that mold is unbroken, and it's solid. So not only is Christ still there as the prototype, but his church is still there. Now, the third aspect to this illustration, us. What about us? How do we fit into that mold? You know, the temptation of all human beings is to refashion God according to our image and likeness. That we become the prototype that God has to fit into our ideas, into our thoughts, our ideologies, our agendas, our politics, our social living. God has to fit into our life, not we have to fit into his life. That is the great temptation. And as Christians, we can harden ourselves with this mentality. We can become like a solid rock. So when that mold goes on us, we don't accustom ourselves to Christ. We've hardened ourselves in our own image. And we try and make some new mold after us and put that mold on other people, and we have more Protestant churches. We have to become soft, bendable, moldable, able to be remade and refashioned after the image of the one who made us, after Christ. We have to become soft. But you know what? We can't be too soft, right? What happens if you go to the beach and instead of taking sand, you fill it with water and you dump it over? What happens? That water just spills out, right? We have to be like clay so that we do bend, but we also become solidified. We become, at the appropriate time, rock hard in the same image of the rock, Jesus Christ. And then we remain in the image and likeness of God for all of eternity. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. Now, following that image of children at the beach, you fill it with some sand, and maybe it's wet sand, so it'll really hold its position. You dump it over. What happens if you do it too fast? You take it off, everything spills apart. It takes time to be solidified. It takes constant effort. Over how long? The period of our whole lives. This is open to us in the life of the church. I want to share with you the story. And this is a very powerful story that speaks to us about how we are remade and refashioned. To go back to the 3rd century, to a city called Comana in Pontus in Asia Minor on the Black Sea. And this city was without a bishop. The bishop had died, and they were looking for a new bishop. And St. Gregory the Wonderworker of Neo-Caesarea came, and he presided over a council that included the clergy and the laity of that diocese, that city and the surrounding area. And he presided over this council, and they were discussing who would be their next bishop. And St. Gregory was telling the people, don't look at the externals of a person's character. Don't look for somebody who's eloquent or super intelligent, or somebody who's good looking or wealthy. Don't look at these types of things. Look at the inner soul of the person as much as you can. See that inner Christ within them. And the people, they were just learning their faith. They didn't really understand this, and they kind of laughed at the idea. And one person even said, oh, why don't we just elect Alexander the coal burner as our new bishop? Everybody laughed. It was an uproar. Now, St. Gregory, knowing how God's providence works, he said to himself, this name, Alexander the coal burner, would not have come before this council were it not for a reason. Let's find him. And he happened actually to be in the church on that day that he was being laughed at by everyone. And he was covered in soot and coal dust. And St. Gregory said to Alexander, come here, I want to talk to you. And he pulled him off to the side. And he compelled Alexander to tell him his story. And Alexander wanted to resist, but he, in obedience, complied. He said that he was formerly a philosopher. And he was not only a philosopher, but a famous one. He was very eminent. His intellect was unsurpassed. But then he came across, one day, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went to the church. And he realized that the person that he was, that he had formed, was really his own idol. And he didn't want idolatry anymore. He wanted to worship the one true God. He wanted that idol to be smashed and rebuilt. And he left his great life, great worldly life, and he became a humble coal burner, telling no one of who he formerly was. And St. Gregory said to him, take off your garments, wash yourself, and put on these new garments I'm going to give you, and come back to the council. Comes back, and people are looking at him differently. And St. Gregory, in front of everyone, starts asking him questions about the Holy Scriptures and about the spiritual life, and about how we're saved in Christ. And the words that came out of Alexander's mouth were only surpassed by the image they saw in who he had become. The people knew that this was a man of God, and that he was to be their bishop, and that he became. This Bishop Alexander finished his life in martyrdom. This coal burner actually became like a living coal. He was put to death in the fire. And he completed this transformation. He became solidified and hardened and burned in that kiln of martyrdom so that he could enter into the heavenly kingdom. Brothers and sisters, what does all of this mean for us? Do we have to become coal burners? Do we have to quit our jobs? Do we have to be martyred? The answer is no. But we do have to go through a radical transformation, a complete refashioning. And if there's any idolatry to us, any worshiping a false god who's just a mirror of ourselves, that idol needs to be broken, and we need to be broken too. And whatever facet of life we find ourselves in, we have to become living images of Christ. And this happens by participation in his church, in the Orthodox Historic Church of Christ, that preserves the image not made by hands, that is this cast in which we can be remade. Brothers and sisters, we have a wonderful gift of this community, this Orthodox Church of Christ the Savior. Let us give thanks to God for it, and let us be remade in it, refashioned in it, saved in it. To our Lord Jesus Christ be the glory, together with his eternal Father and the all Holy Spirit, now and ever unto the ages of ages. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.